2 Chronicles chapter 17. If you're there, you'll probably see some headings or whatever. We'll take a look at King Jehoshaphat. And if just for some introduction notes here before we dive into this passage here, we know, you know, of course, you know, go back to a couple chapters back here. We know that Jehoshaphat was the son of Asa, right? Asa was pretty much a good guy, you know, until his latter parts of the years. And we'll take a look here in just a moment here about that here. But also, we see here that he is not the first, not the second, not the third, but the fourth king of Judah. No, in this divided kingdom time, as we see here in the book of 2 Chronicles. But we see here, you think about chapter 17, chapter 18, and we see here there's four chapters here that is devoted to King Jehoshaphat. And I'm so privileged to be able to read God's word. I'm so thankful that we have it in our hands. I'm so thankful that we don't have to go to the scrolls, but I'm so thankful that we have a copy of God's word in our hands here. But we're going to notice just a couple things as we just journey through this man's life until we get to the moment here. We take a look at his prayer. And notice, you know, as we see here, yes, his father was King Asa, right? And his father, ultimately, in chapter 17, you know, a little bit latter part of chapter 16, yes, Asa died. But as we see here, notice the difference here between Asa and King Jehoshaphat here. And we'll go come even to later and play a little bit later in King Jehoshaphat's life. So turn with me one chapter back here in chapter 16 and notice about King Asa here. You know, King Jehoshaphat's be his son, right? But we see here in chapter 16, verse 10, and notice ultimately, yes, Asa was a pretty good guy. He was a pretty good king, but he made one foolish mistake. And notice as we see here in verse 10 here, it says this, then Asa was wroth with the Syr and put him in prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people the same time. And behold, the acts of Asa, the first and last, though they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel here. But now turn with me here to chapter 17 here, and we're going to notice a couple things about Jehoshaphat. So notice, you know, we go take a look here at the very first couple verses here. Yes, you know what? Asa, you know, he was a pretty good guy. He was a pretty good king. His last part, we see here that he imprisons Hananiah. But notice here in chapter 17 here, he's going to do a couple things different here that ultimately that maybe Asa ignored or even Asa, you know, was doing some things wrong. So notice with me here in chapter 17, verse 1, and it says this, and Jehoshaphat, his son reigneth in his stead and strengthened himself against Israel. And he placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah and set garrisons, or we think about forts. It says this, in the land of Judah, in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa his father had taken. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat. I love that phrase. And let that be said of us here tonight, that the Lord was with, you know what, put your name in that phrase. But notice as we keep reading here, because he walked in the first ways of his father David, and sought not unto Balaam, but sought to the Lord God of his father, and walked in his commandments, and not after the doings of Israel. We'll stop here in verse 5 here. It says this, therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honor and abundance. Notice how determined that, as we think about number one here tonight here, how determined Jehoshaphat is. He's determined here. Think about the very beginning of his reign is encouraging here. We see the Lord was with Jehoshaphat. You, as you're journeying, even through, I believe, on Wednesday nights here, going through the kings here, sometimes you see some bad kings. Sometimes you see they walk not in the right in the eyes of the Lord. And you see that so many times. I'm so thankful that we see here in Jehoshaphat's life that the Lord was with Jehoshaphat. As we see here from chapter 16, even when his father have, you know, even ignored the Lord towards the end of his life here about imprisoning Hananiah, then ultimately, yes, he passes away. Jehoshaphat was so determined to seek the Lord. He's determined to please the Lord. He's determined, you know, to give God all the glory and honor in his life. Notice as he sets up, it says here in verse 2, And he places forces in all the fenced cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah and then cities of Ephraim, which Asa, his father, have taken here. Think about as he's trying to defend and make sure there's nobody that's going to come in and make sure the northern line here. Yes, we see a lot of the northern kings were pretty bad here, but we see here we're going to try to set some forts and make sure everything's safe here. We're going to strengthen. We'll have our position right. And as he's begin to, as we see here, you know, bring some defenses here to guard against any bad influences from those kings or even from around that area. But the thing is, you know, think about it here, as just like Jehoshaphat, he says he's setting some forts and making sure the place is safe. And as he's trusting the Lord here, we've got to think even in our hearts and our minds here about even ourselves against the influences and inroads of the enemy, right? Think about it in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 and familiar verse there. It says this, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. I don't have to be weak. I don't have to fall, but I can be strong. Because why? Because of God. And the Lord here says this, in the power of his might. But not only that here, we see here, let's continue to keep going through here. It says here in verse 3, and the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam. Think about it. You know, as a Christian, you know, think about it, we are supposed to be set apart, right? We're supposed to be separate from the world. But as we see here, Jehoshaphat practiced the very same thing. He practiced separation while those sometimes around him were doing idolatry and, you know, think about it here, doing wicked things here. We read here in verse 3 here in the last part here, it says this, and sought not unto Balaam. He was willing to be different. He's willing to say, you know what, I'm going to not to join the crowd. I'm not going to, you know, please myself. I'm not going to please the people. But here is one thing I want to do. I want to be pleasing to the Lord. I want to give God my heart. I want to give God this kingdom that he is ultimately able to be the king of. Think about it here, you know, think about a couple verses even about being separate here. You know, for example here, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. 6, verse 17 says this, wherefore come out of from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Can you hold your place here in 2 Chronicles chapter 17? We'll go through a familiar passage here in the book of Romans here. Notice what this verse says here from the book of Romans here, chapter 12. And you're probably ringing a bell here of a familiar verse here. But it says here in the book of Romans chapter 12, we'll look here in verse 1, then also verse 2, a familiar verses here. It says this in verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove, think about living out what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Think about, you know, I'm willing to be separate. I'm willing to think about these. This verse is trying to encourage us here to be separate from worldly thinking, worldly behaviors. Yes, you know what? We go outside these doors and think about, even look across the street. There's worldly things that is happening. As a Christian, we're going to try our best to stay away from that. Think about it, in our Sunday school class, you know, we read a verse here. We're trying to abstain from all appearances of evil. So even some things that, you know, we, you know, even some associations that may be of evil, we're going to try to stay as far away as possible from that. But notice with me here in the book of James, okay? James chapter 4 here, you know, in our New Testament here, you got the book of Hebrews and they got the book of James here as well. Notice this verse here in the book of James chapter 4, and notice this passage here. James chapter 4, trying to encourage us here about this point here. James chapter 4. And notice with me verse 4. It says this in James 4, verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteress, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Think about it. You know, we read that, and it's a clear, think about it, it's a clear, you know, passage here that, you know what? A friendship with the world conflicts with our friendship with God, right? Think about with sin, you know, when we do sin, yes, we know what sin is. You know, sin is anything we do, said, think, or, you know, say that displeases God. And so when we have sin in our hearts, you think about our relationship with God, you know, even, you know, because God can't be in that presence of sin. But as we see here, that if we, you know, with our friendship with the world, you know, we try to associate, or maybe sometimes we try to be like the world or act like the world, even though sometimes even sadly people try to live even double lives. They come in here in church and, oh, I'm a goodly Christian here, but I go outside and do all sorts of worldly things here. It affects our relationship with God as well. But notice with me here as well, as we keep journeying through our New Testament here, to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter here in the first book, I mean 1 Peter here, chapter 2. And can I have your attention here? The book of 1 Peter here, it was just at James here, just shortly over here. 1 Peter chapter 2, and journey with me here to verse 9. It says this in verse 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. It says this, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Think about it, we are called out. I'm so thankful that, you know what, we can have a relationship with God. I'm so thankful that we are a chosen generation. And yes, you know what, we could be, think about it, the last chosen generation until the Lord comes back. You know what? We should be busy doing the things of God. We are called out and we're separate for a purpose. And that's the purpose of to what? To glorify and honor God in every single way. So what's the outcome of being separate? Can I encourage you to turn with me here to the book of Psalm? Psalm 1. And this is a great psalm here. And notice with me here in verse 1. Psalm 1, verse 1. It says this. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Think about the blessing as a Christian that we get to have, a life that is separated from godly influences. Now let's make sure we are purifying our bodies, purifying our minds, getting our minds, you know what, focus on God. And I'm so thankful that as we see here in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 17, he chose to separate. Even when others around him was doing different, he chose to be different. Let that be said of us here tonight. But then notice with me as we keep journeying here in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 here, notice with me here in the last part of verse 7, and it says here in verse 7, and then we'll jump here and to verse 9. It says this, to teach in the cities of Judah, journey with me down to verse 9, and they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them and went about throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. Just amazing here. Amazing what he is doing. He think about King Jehoshaphat. He understood the purpose of just simply bringing the word of God to people. You know, go out and teach. And I just imagine in my mind, he's telling the people, go and, you know, go read the Bible, go tell. And think about as men go into the cities and as they're passing out the gospel and passing out the word of God for them and the law of God. Just amazing here. Great things that are happening in King Jehoshaphat's life. And just amazing as he's commissioning them to go out and commission them to go out and pass the word of God out, the law of Moses here. But then journey with me as we keep reading here. You know, it says here as we read verse 9, it says here in verse 10, and the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were round about of Judah. So they made no war against him. Think about it, because of the faithfulness of Jehoshaphat, Notice with me these couple verses here. Notice the faithfulness of Jehoshaphat. Number one, it brought peace. Notice what it says in verse 10. And the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah, so they made no war against Jehoshaphat. You think about when you're in a battle against the Lord, you know what? Go ahead. I'm done. I lost. Think about it, because you know what? You know, think about it. He won every battle. He's the victorious. I love singing the song, Victory in Jesus. And I'm so thankful we can always be victorious in him. But then notice as we keep going here, this amazing blessings of Jehoshaphat here. Notice what it says here in verse 11 here. You know what? It also brought praise. It says here in verse 11, also some of the Philistines brought Jehoshaphat presents and tribute silver. And the Arabians brought him flocks. Man, imagine us bringing all this stuff. Wow. Man, just like a baby shower when you get, I remember just like Travis, before Travis was born, they put all the baby shower, all the stuff, and oh boy, at the time, it was in the tiny house, and there was no room to put it. No room to put it. We're like, I could like trip over the stuff that we have. Just amazing here. But notice what's happening as well. And 7,700 rams, 7,700 he-goats. Imagine, having this whole auditorium filled of stuff. But the thing is, that may cause them to, as we see here in chapter 18 a little bit later, what's going to happen, okay? But notice praise. But notice in verse 12 here, it says this, and Jehoshaphat waxed great exceedingly, and he built in Judah castles and cities of store. Guess what? Think about power, power. Think about, maybe you had a job or you're currently working. Man, it feels good when you have the power, right? Maybe when you're the boss, you get to, hey, you're mopping the floor. Or, hey, you're doing this. Or, hey, you're doing that. At times, right? Sometimes, being a boss, it's tougher, right? But notice here, we see the very power and everything's coming together. But notice as we keep reading here, it says here in verse 13, and he had much business in the cities of Judah, and the men of war, mighty men of valor, were in Jerusalem. And these are the numbers of according to the house of their fathers of Judah, the captains of thousands, Abdon the chief, and with him mighty men of valor, 300,000. Think about all the prosperity. Isn't just amazing when we put God first, all the blessings of the Christian life that we get to have? Think about all the promises of God's and God's word that we get to claim and we get to have. We get to, tell God, wow, these promises we get to have. Think about how you think about in the book of 1 Samuel, it says this, then that honor, God promise, them that honor me, I will honor. It's just amazing when we can put God first. But notice with me here in chapter 18 here, think about all this stuff that's accumulating sometimes can get, even in our lives, Think about it here, you work and you work and you work, you acquire money, and then sometimes you're not depending on God. Think about it, there's instances even in my life, there's times in which, man, you're praying and you're praying and you're praying and God blesses, and then next you ease up on a little bit of that. Because everything's good. Everything's pleasing. Everything, I'm just living a good life, and I don't need to pray for that, or I don't need to pray for that. But the next year, when it goes away again, we're, oh, Lord, please, 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 please. You're begging God. But notice what it says here in chapter 18 here. It says here in verse 1, it says, now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor and abundance and joined a fraternity with Ahab. I think if you have study or maybe know his name, Ahab, he's not a good king, right? He is not a good king. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 16, can I just have your eyes just turn there real quick here to the book of 1 Kings, to a couple books back here. 1 Kings chapter 16, think about it, tells us how bad Ahab was. How bad Ahab was. You notice what it says here, 1 Kings chapter 16 here. And notice with me here in a couple verses here, starting in, let's see here, in verse 32, it says this. And he reared up an altar for Baal. Think about it, we know that's a false idol, right? So you think about it, he's already, whoa, not good. It says this, and in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria, and Ahab made a grove. And Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. Man, That's saying a lot, right? But now we see here, 2 Chronicles chapter 18, now he's going to make an alliance. We are going to make an alliance with him. And it's sad because you think about King Ahab, he doesn't worship the one and true God. He worships the Lord the way he wants it. Think about all these false gods and all these other things here. Think about this word grove, you know, it means, and it could be an idol worship site where people come and worship idols here. But as we journey through here, we're going to notice a couple things here. It says here in verse 1, and now Jehoshaphat had riches. Think about it here. We see here, you know, a little compromise coming here. It says here that he had riches. You know what? Itself, you know, of having money or having riches or wealth is not sinful, you know, itself. But yes, you know what? It can bring great temptation. It can bring great, you know, even danger into our hearts and our lives. Sometimes we become reliant on all the savings that we have, and we forget to trust God to meet, continue to keep meeting those needs that we've been praying for time after time and time again. And then when we have all that money, what we become to, it's all about me. It's all about myself sometimes. But as we see here, yes, you know, it's not wrong to have wealth. It's not wrong to have money. But also it says this here, in honor and abundance. I don't know if you know, sometimes you hear the word pride. Pride. So many times, you know, think about, I'm prideful for this, or, you know, I'm going to give my 100% for this here. But we see here King Jehoshaphat, he had honor and abundance. A lot of people, you know, honored him. But not only that here, notice as we see here, he joined affinity with Ahab. He joined alliance with Ahab. The thing is, as you know, from time to time, you always hear preachers, and also you hear as we journey through the Bible here, our decisions affect our outcome, right? Our decisions affect our outcome. And think about it, as King Jehoshaphat, think about it, he's trying, maybe this is a good alliance here. Maybe this is a good thing here. Sadly, he's going to reap the consequence of his compromise as he's bringing alliance, as he's riches and he's abundance and honor and all this stuff here. Think about how, for sake of time, you know, remember, he was almost nearly killed. You know, when he had the alliance, he was out to battle. And remember, you know, most mistaken, King Jehoshaphat with King Ahab. Oh, you know, maybe we should be not joining alliance with him, okay? I almost got killed. But not only that, think about it. They even had a family marriage. The thing about, you know, marrying the daughter of Ahab. We know that, ultimately, that was wrong. But it affected it nationally, but also, think about it, in our hearts, you know, in our minds, it affected spiritually as well. And the thing is here, compromise, think about it here, leads to personal problems, which ultimately affect others, then also cause a spiritual decline. Think about it. My sin affects others. My sin not only affects me, but affects my family. Beyond that, it can affect my church. It can affect, you know, all sorts of things. Think about, you know, it's crazy to think about, you know, when we sin, you know, how easy, how pleasing it is, how, yes, the devil makes it just like a 3-course meal, all-you-can-eat buffet of steak. But guess what? Sometimes we don't look at the consequences until those consequences are brought to our table, and we see something happens, or we see that God wanted to bless us, and ultimately he can't because there's sin in the camp. Think about it. In the book of Ephesians chapter 5, it says this in verse 11 here, the latter part, to have, you know, think about it here, Paul, he wrote the book of Ephesians here. He says this, think about it, as believers, we are to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Made me think about abstaining from all appearances of evil. Think about, you know, I know some people, don't go as far, you know, into that place. But notice as we continue to keep going here, notice with me here in chapter 19 here, as we go through here, yes, Jehoshaphat, yes, praise the Lord, he's going to be forgiven. Thankful we have a righteous God, a loving, caring God that forgives. Thankful that he's forgiven us, all of our sins. So thankful that he paid it all. So thankful, I don't have to work for my salvation, but he died in my place so that we can all spend everlasting life with him. Praise the Lord. We know that he's forgiven, and we know that he is going to be reprimanded, and he's going to, you know, we see here, this is pretty unique here, you know, especially from, yes, King Asa here. Remember that he put Hananiah to prison here, but now we see here, Jehu, the son of Hananiah that Asa put in prison here, came and say, you know what, Jehoshaphat, you need to straighten some things out. You need to get right with the Lord here. But notice here, it says here in chapter 19, it says here in verse 2, and Jehu, the son of Hananiah, the sir, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, and thou hast taken away the groves out of the land, and hast prepared thy heart to seek God. Think about, man, you know, rebuking somebody or correcting somebody. And yes, you know what? Having a son that's 1.5, man, there is a lot of correcting. There's a lot of, yes, oh man, you know, but at the same time, think about it. Yes, we know all sorts of scriptures here that supports that we need to correct. We want to raise it in, you know, and through, you know, God and all sorts of things here. But man, it took some courageousness. It took some courage to go to King Jehoshaphat. Think about it, you just don't go up to the president and, oh man, see ya, right? But think about it, it took courage, it took some compassion as well as, you know, Jehu went up to Jehoshaphat and told him, hey, you need to be, you know, some things need to line up here. You need to seek God and praise the Lord that Jehoshaphat were restored. Think about it, instead of being bitter or instead of being mad or sometimes, you know, the way sometimes we can act, but think about it, he was made better by the rebuke. It's amazing when sometimes even, I remember many times as a Christian, you know, even throughout even life, when somebody comes up to me, hey, something you could work on. Hey, something you could work on. As much as sometimes you're like, you know, or whatever it may be, or, you know, oh, I'll work on it, but at the same time, it's great when you could trust somebody and come up to you and, you know what, tell you, hey, there's something you could work on as a Christian or whatever it may be. But then notice as we see here in verse 5 here, and notice with me, and we're going to read a couple verses here, notice how many times the word Lord is mentioned. Notice what it says here in verse 5 here, and he set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah, and fenced cities of Judah, city by city, and he said to the judges, take heed what ye do, for ye judge not for man, but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment. Wherefore, now let the fear of the Lord, you're counting? Oh, here we go. Let's keep reading. Be upon you. Take heed and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. Moreover, in Jerusalem did Jehoshaphat set the Levites, the priests, and the chief of the fathers of Israel for the judgment of the Lord and for controversies when they returned to Jerusalem. And he charged him, saying, thus shall ye do in the fear of the Lord faithfully and with a perfect heart. What cost soever shall come to you of your brethren that dwell in their cities between blood and blood, and between law and commandment, statutes and judgments, ye shall even warn them that they trespass not against the Lord, and so wrath come upon you and upon your brethren. Man, this is good. Man, I love reading the Bible. It says this here, so wrath come upon you and your brethren, this do, and ye shall not trespass. Verse 11, you ready? Hope you're still counting how many lords we see here as we're journeying through here. It says there in verse 11, behold, Amir the chief priest is over you in all the matters of the Lord. Zebediah, the son of Ishmael, the ruler of the house. Ooh, missed Lord. And lower part of verse 11. Says this, for all the king's matters, also the Levites shall be officers before you, deal courageously, and the Lord shall be with the good. Anybody count how many times the word Lord is in there? How many? Eight. It's significant. You think about, wow, that is just amazing. Lord, Lord, Lord. And as we see here, yes, we see the very, think about it, as we're journeying through these couple scriptures here, yes, we see, you know what, they're doing it for the Lord. Their character, they're doing it for God. And not only that here, think about it, they're doing it in the fear of the Lord, so they even having that conviction, they're doing everything for God. Think about it, you know, think about it as a Christian here, if we can trust God for salvation, and praise the Lord, we can. Surely we can trust him for the result of our labor. Think what he's saying here. You know what? Let's do our part. Let's leave the rest up to God. think about through these chapters here. But then as we keep journeying through here, just amazing here in chapter 20, that when the pressure is on, we'll see who really Jehoshaphat is. Think about when sometimes things are not going your way, day after day, time after time. Who are we trusting? Who are we yielding to? Who are we seeking? What are we asking? But notice here as we wrap up here this evening here with these couple of verses here in chapter 20, let this prayer be encouragement to you tonight. It says this here as we journey through here. Just amazing. In verse 3, I just love this. It says here in verse 3, Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. What did he do? Think about it. Sometimes when things come in, we could be so mad, we could be so angry, our attitude could be up and down, and we could be, you know, all sorts of things here. But notice his attitude. Notice what it says here in verse 3, and then also in verse 4. It says this in verse 4, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Guess what? When crisis comes, when things are tough, guess what they did? They prayed. They seek God. You know, they seek God in prayer. And think about it, even our lives here today, prayer should be our first response, not the last resort. When things come and you think about, you know, all these prayer requests as we're praying for Miss Linda and as we're praying for, think about Monique, and we're praying for all these big things. And yes, you know what? God can, yes, he's working all the little things as well. But you know what? We need to pray and seek the God. And yes, you know, it may take some crying. It may take some begging. But you know what? So thankful it never turned void as we get to talk to the Father. So thankful after Christ's death, burial, resurrection, that what? That temple veil was ripped away so that we can go straight to God. How amazing that is. As a Christian, we could go straight to God and talk to him. Think about it. We know these couple verses here. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with what? All thy heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Isn't just amazing here? Think about all sorts of verses here about prayer. 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 Seek him first. But not only that here. Notice as we keep reading here in verse 5. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem, the house of the Lord, before the new court. And he said, O Lord God of our fathers. Notice what he's going to say here to the Lord here. It says this. Art not thou God in heaven? But he's acknowledging what? Number one here, acknowledging God's rightful place as the ruler of the universe. But not only that, here he goes on to say, as he's praying to God, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? In thy hand is there no power and might, not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee. Think about it. We're going to see here, just amazing, in verse 7, art thou not our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of the land before thy people, Israel, and gave us to thy seed of Abraham, thy friend forever, and they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, and pestilence, and famine, we stand before this house and thy presence, for thy name is this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, when thou wilt help in here. Think about it here. We've seen these verses here that, yes, number one, that he's acknowledged that God is the rightful ruler of the universe. He recounts the very even promise of God that he's going to give them the promised land. It's just amazing and how God has did exactly that. But not only that, he reminded God how he restrained even the Israelites from attacking the Moabites and also the Amorites as well, and destroying them as they traveled through the wilderness. It's just amazing here. And he admits, as we continue to keep reading here, notice what it says here. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them. Now behold, I say how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, when thou hast given to inherit. Oh, notice this verse. This is so good. Oh, notice what it says here. O our God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, and neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Guess what he did? He admitted that in themselves, that they had no hope, no help, but they're completely depending upon God. You know, that's what we need every day. Completely depending on God. You know what? There's some situations you're going through. I know there's, think about it, all sorts of life. Maybe hard to talk to somebody about. Maybe something heavy on your heart. But you know, we have a God that wants to sit and hear and have you pray and as you beg God. And think about it, as we're living completely yielded upon him. Amazing what God can do with a church that is completely dependent upon him. Every member, every folk that is in every single pew. But think about it. When we pray, remember, God can answer. God can say, wait. Or God can say, not now. Notice as we keep reading here, it says in verse 14. And then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattai, and notice what it says here, the last part, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. Oh, notice the answer of God that what he's going to give here. It says this in verse 15, and he said, hearken ye all Judah, ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. Oh, I know you know this here. It says this, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Zee, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Think about it. God is answering here. It's amazing here. And guess what? God is going to give Jehoshaphat the victory. So thankful we have victory in Jesus when we are completely dependent upon him. But not only when God answers, guess what Jehoshaphat does? It says here, as we see here in verse 26 here, notice what Jehoshaphat does. Oh, let this be said of us too. As we pray and as we seek God, and when God answers, this is what we do. It says here in verse 26, and on the fourth day they assembled themselves in the valley of Baruchah, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of the same place was called. Think about verse 27. And they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them to go again to Jerusalem with joy. Oh, happy when we have joy, right? It says this, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. Yes, we can rejoice over the enemies of God. You think about it, there's enemies that we face on a daily basis, and we can rejoice. And you know what? The battle's the Lord's, not ours. And we can win every single day. We don't have to be defeated. But it's just amazing here. They're showing appreciation to God. As they're rejoicing what God has done, the victories that they have was able to see. Think about when God answers our requests, let us be mindful to thank God for that. I'm so thankful for many, many answers to prayers that I have given to the Lord, and he answered specifically. Now I'm thankful for my buddy Andrew. Many years ago of answering, now even now as he's on deputation, answering the call to go in the mission field. Wow, it's a great thing. Thankful that, you know what, there's a lot of pressure even, think about it, as I was growing up from school and all sorts of influences, you know, I'm so thankful that I stick with the Bible. So thankful that I stick to what I know that God wanted me to do. God wanted me to go to college, and God wanted me to, you know, just amazing how he leads in every single step. And he will, even when it's tough, even when I can't see the next step. God always does amazing things. But here's what I'm going to leave you with here this evening. Let us be encouraged by the life of Jehoshaphat. Notice, you know, later part, you know, he's going to be pretty forgetful here. And think about the latter part of chapter 20. You know, he's fortunately going to join himself with an alliance with somebody else, Ahijah. But then it's going to cost him some things. But let us be encouraged tonight to learn from Jehoshaphat. The number one, let's seek the Lord first. Let's seek him first. Think about it, just amazing here. Even in the time of, think about, of crisis, things are just going out of haywire, let's see God in those times. Number two, let's be careful who we are, think about aligning with, our friends. Think about, you know, I encourage even the teens here this morning in Sunday school class to be careful of the influences that could be around you. Even our friends sometimes can even bring us down if they're not saved or if they don't go to church. Yes, those things can bring us down. Think about avoid. Think about with Jehoshaphat, he has some alliances, but let's avoid ungodly alliances. Let's live a life that is above reproach, that has integrity. I'm going to put God first. But then number three, kind of encourage you, just like Jehoshaphat, let's prioritize God's word. Think about it, I don't know. Anytime that we don't need God's word, we need it every day. Think about, go a step outside of these doors. When you wake up, you know, go outside of your house doors. We need God's protection. We need God's help. We need God's blessing. We need God's touch. Oh, yes, we know there's an enemy walking to and fro in the earth. We know, yes, there's sin. That's just like a juicy steak coming right in front of your eyes so many times, and you're fighting it, and maybe something happens in the family or whatever it may be, even times of crisis here. Oh, we need God's word. It gives us comfort. It gives us joy. It gives us peace. But then lastly, I'll leave with this. Pray and trust God in the hard times. Think about when times get tough. Thankful, you know, I love our study in the book of Acts. You know, we're not being persecuted as much as Paul has. Will we? I don't know. But even when time comes, let's remain faithful to God. Hey, but when things are tough, let's remember to pray and trust in Him. There's so many times I could simply remember times of when my father passed away many years ago. That yes, you know what, it was tough. Yes, you know, there's things in which I wish that I can have him here for. I would love for him to meet Anna. I'd love for him to meet our son. I'd love for him to see the house, how the Lord blessed. Of prayers. You know, prayers of you guys as well. But only God can do that. I remember times I could simply just, you know what, man, I could be so angry. You know, I always hear that people sometimes get angry over loved ones passing away. But the comfort I knew, that he knew the Lord is the Savior. And you know what? Knowing that gave me comfort of knowing that I will see him again. And you know what? I trusted God. I gave it to God in prayer. And once I gave it to God in prayer, I didn't pick it back up, but I kept moving forward for God. It's amazing what he does. Yes, you know what? There's times in which, you know, I always hear, you know, when you get old, you know, there's a lot of regrets. But you know what? We can even stop them from now, right now. But let's not allow our lives to be full of regrets. Let's be busy doing the things of God. Think about, we have a great Jerusalem. Think about Boonesboro, Maryland, that needs the gospel. Let's be busy. I'm so thankful for the nursing home services. So thankful that we run a gospel bus out to Hagerstown and surrounding areas. So thankful that we have the good news clubs, so that we can be an influence in our community. Think about it. We have Saturday soul winning visitation. I encourage you, if you have never been out, oh, you know what? Take us up on it and come out on Saturday. And we'll love for you to come. Pastor will pay your meal for lunch. Just kidding. Oh, okay. We'll keep them on that. But just amazing. A couple things that we learned from King Jehoshaphat, right? But let's be encouraged to keep living for him. We've got a heavy head bow and eyes closed here. So thankful. All the things that we can learn from this man's life.